Harry Potter and the Orb of Exuberance by Fezzador. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of J.K. Rowling. Chapter 63. Hogwarts Bound. The dreary Ilvermorny winters gradually eased up. The daylight began creeping into the early evening hours, and the songbirds had started their northward migration. The snowfall transitioned into gentle rains, and even the formerly barren trees had begun to sprout their first buds. Spring was in its infancy, but the milder weather was reason enough for celebration. The week leading up to Easter Sunday, Harry had finally mustered the courage to ask Anna to the annual spring dance after she returned from the interscholastic quiz bowl in Scotland. He had nearly 2 months to ask her, and the thought didn't even occur to him that someone else might have already asked her. He sought Anna in the library after class that Monday afternoon, thinking the environment was as quiet and private as it could get, and after biting his lip and heading toward her usual quiet nook toward the rear of the library, he cleared his throat and gave it his best shot. "Hi, Anna."
"Harry!"
Anna squeaked, looking up from her textbook.
"Fancy seeing you here. How are you?"
Harry glanced down at the floor nervously before responding.
"I suppose I can't complain. Anyway, I've got something to ask you."
His hands were trembling and his face flushed a deep pink. This didn't go unnoticed by Anna, who did everything in her power not to giggle.
"What's up?"
Harry closed his eyes and took a deep breath. It's now or never, he thought to himself.
"Anastasia K. Harrison, would you like to go to the spring dance with me?"
"Harry," Anna replied gently.
"I'd be delighted to go, but..."
Harry's heart pounded. The ominous word "but" was the last thing he wanted to hear.
"Why did you wait so long to ask me? You know I would have said yes. I've already had to turn down 3 other boys, you see. It might have been a white lie, but I told them I already had a dance partner lined up. And lately I was starting to second-guess myself, because what if you never bothered to ask me? It's not any fun going to a dance without a partner."
"Because..." Harry began, still breathing heavily. He hung his head shamefully and lowered his voice to a whisper.
"Because I was afraid you'd say no."
"Harry," Anna said again, also in a whisper. "I don't know why you're so afraid of rejection, especially after all we've been through together. The good and the bad, but mostly good." She smiled at Harry. "I'm thankful for all of my friends at Ilvermorny, but out of all of them, I'm thankful for you most of all."
"I feel so stupid," Harry admitted.
"Especially when you put it that way. But I can't help but feel, I don't know, inferior, because apparently I'm not the only boy who thinks you're as pretty as you are smart. I was thinking that maybe you'd rather go with one of them."
"You're one of a very select few boys that I'd have any interest being on the dance floor with," Anna replied gently.
"I wouldn't have you any other way, Harry Potter. You're quite possibly the very best friend I've ever had, magical or otherwise." She then covered her mouth with one of her hands, suppressing a giggle. "Oh, and I accept your invitation to the dance on one condition."
"What's that?" asked Harry.
"I want you to save a dance for my friend Daphne," Anna said. "You know it'd mean the world to her. She's coming from a fourth of the way around the world to see you. So please be sweet to her."
"All right," groaned Harry, sounding a bit nonplussed at the notion of having to dance with another girl.
"I'll do it." Anna smiled. "Thank you, Harry. It's just one dance." She shook her head and giggled.
"And for the love of Merlin, you silly knucklehead." She cleared her throat and finished with a facsimile received pronunciation accent. "Please don't call her a bloody limey."
"I won't, you crazy yank," laughed Harry. "I'll just tell her that she's pretty or something."
"Yes, she'd appreciate that," agreed Anna. "I know it's not what you signed up for, but it's not going to kill you to be a gentleman and at least pretend to enjoy her company for a few minutes. She's a cute girl that's going to doll herself up for you, don't forget."
"I know," groaned Harry. "I'm sure she's all right, but I'm basically just doing it because it means a lot to you." He bit his lip.
"So you're leaving for Hogwarts in a couple of days, aren't you? How are you feeling?"
Anna just blinked.
"Yeah, we're leaving Wednesday after breakfast. I don't think there's a single word in the English language that can describe my feelings. I'm stoked, for one, but I'm also even more nervous than I was for my very first quiz bowl. The stakes are so much higher this time, for sure."
She let out a sigh.
I have so much to live up to being this so-called wonder girl who's doing things no second-year student should have no business doing. Even Hogwarts is aware of my reputation. Daphne even said so in one of her recent letters. I know I have nothing left to prove to you, but I really don't want to let my British friends down. They're going to be openly pulling for Ilvermorny to beat their own school's representatives because they really don't like Slytherin, even though Daphne's family is primarily from that house. I wish I could go with you, Harry said softly. But you're going to perform wonderfully, as you always do. You're going to wow them like you already do here, and even if Hogwarts wins, they're still going to think the world of you. They're not going to be cheering for Ilvermorny as much as they'll be cheering for you, he chuckled. Just prepare to be mobbed for a second time in the event you lead the Horned Serpents to victory. Anna gave Harry a bit of a playful shove in response. On Wednesday morning, Harry, Othniel, and Tallulah were stunned to see Anna wearing no match clothes at the Horned Serpent table for breakfast. She was wearing a plain white buttoned shirt, black trousers, and had her hair tied back in a simple ponytail rather than an official Ilvermorny uniform to the surprise of the younger children. I thought you'd be traveling in your formal robes, Tallulah commented in between sips of her puckerberry juice. Oh, Merlin, no, giggled Anna. We're taking an enchanted hot air balloon to Scotland in a couple of hours. I'd much rather travel in the comfort of my personal clothes than those stuffy things. She gestured toward the faculty table. And you guys are lucky. Professor Fontaine will be teaching potions tomorrow. Madame L is accompanying us as an official chaperone. All three younger children winced, which prompted a soft giggle. I think she's got a bit of a hankering to see how the Hogwarts potions master runs things more than anything. Well, good luck, Anna, Othniel said. We're going to miss you, you know. Thanks, Othniel, murmured Anna. She cocked her head to one side. I don't know if this puckerberry juice is fermented, but your table manners have gotten a bit better lately. You don't slouch as much, and you're not talking with food in your mouth. That's Tallulah's doing, laughed Othniel. Anna shrugged. She's done a marvelous job. Please be safe, begged Harry. I know you're in good hands with Professor Good and even Madame L, but I can't help but worry about you a little bit. I know, murmured Anna. I'll be back this coming Saturday, so I won't even be gone a full week. You'll see me again before you know it. She cracked a silly grin. Now you three promised me to stay out of trouble while I'm gone. You got it, replied Harry. Any troublemaking we do will be strictly done with Professor Lupin's approval. Anna shook her head and giggled. He spoils the mess out of you, Harry, and that reminds me, I want to say goodbye to him personally before I head out. As the children began getting up to head for their respective first classes of the day, Harry, Othniel, and Tallulah each gave Anna a tender hug and wished her safe passage before she made her way to find Professor Lupin, who was still sitting at the faculty table. Best of luck to you and your teammates, Miss Harrison, the defense teacher murmured between sips of coffee. It's been many years since I've stepped foot inside those ancient castle walls. It's not as grandiose as Ilvermorny, but it's the place I once called home. I have many fond memories as a student there. I wish you could come with us, Anna admitted. I'm sure it hasn't changed that much in a decade and a half. Professor Fontaine asked me if I wanted to act as a chaperone, but I politely declined, Lupin clarified. I'm afraid my presence might not be particularly well received by some of their faculty and staff, for reasons already known to you. He smiled at the girl. I know you and your teammates will represent Ilvermorny well. While it's painful to cheer against my alma mater, nothing makes me happier than knowing I've had a hand in the knowledge imparted upon you. I'm no seer, but I know you're going to wow them all. Now go show Hogwarts what you're made of, Anastasia. I may not be there in person, but I'll be there for you in spirit. Anna wrapped her arms around Lupin gratefully. Thank you, Professor, she whispered. I'll see you next Saturday. At exactly 9 o'clock, the entire Horned Serpent Quiz Bowl team, along with Professor Good and Madame L, gathered inside the cramped-looking cabin underneath an enormous teal and gold-striped fabric bag. The balloon itself was enchanted for a speedier flight, not to mention making it virtually impossible for non-magical devices to detect. The cabin was enchanted to look far larger and more comfortable than its outward appearance suggested. Despite the enchantments, it took several hours for the Ilvermorny contingent to reach their destination. Needless to say, all its passengers felt the pangs of hunger as they disembarked from just beside the dark forest late that afternoon. The first to greet them was the massive Hagrid, whose enormous frame took each of the Ilvermorny students by surprise.
"Welcome to Hogwarts," the part giant greeted warmly. "Rubeus Hagrid, gamekeeper and keeper of keys at your service. If you'd be so kind as to follow me, I'll show you inside so you can get unpacked and changed before dinner."
They all followed Hagrid through the huge wooden double doors which served as the entrance to the ancient school. Anna's jaw dropped as she saw the interior of the legendary castle for the first time. The architecture was far, far older than Ilvermorny, predating it by at least 5 or 6 centuries. Even the Great Hall ceiling caught her by surprise, as even Ilvermorny's mess hall wasn't enchanted to have the appearance of a twinkling, starlit sky.
"Good morning, Ilvermorny,"
came a rather snooty-sounding voice from the middle of the Great Hall.
"I'm Percy Weasley, Gryffindor Prefect. Professor Good, Professor Luginbeale, would you be so kind as to wait here for Professor McGonagall? She'll be downstairs momentarily. In the meantime, I'll show the students to their temporary quarters."
"That's Madame Lewandowski, you twit,"
spat Madame L.
"Sorry, Madame Lindenberger,"
sighed Percy.
"Lewandowski," growled Madame L. "Morgan's tits, you limeys, are even dimmer than I remember. I ought to issue you a demerit, young man."
"We don't have demerits at Hogwarts," Percy declared pompously. "I don't know who you think you are, madam, but in our society, guests don't typically insult their hosts."
Before Madame L could retort, Professor Good stuck an open hand in front of her face, giving her a glare of warning.
"Young man," she cooed, "I will be much obliged if you would show my students to their quarters. Madame L and I shall wait here for your deputy headmistress in the meantime. Thank you for your hospitality."
Percy bowed his head to Professor Good deferentially.
"Of course, Professor Good,"
he gestured toward the 8-horned serpents.
"All right, you lot, right this way."
Once Professor Good and Madame L were out of earshot, Percy whispered to Missy,
"I remember you from last year. Megan, right, Michelle? Something along those lines."
Missy giggled.
"It's Missy, Percy."
"Ah, yes, Missy," recalled Percy.
"Short for Melissa, right? Greek for honey, if I recall."
Missy smiled sweetly.
"That's right, and I prefer Missy, though. You're on the Gryffindor quiz ball team, if I recall."
"Still am,"
replied Percy, who couldn't resist puffing his chest out a bit, his prefect badge prominently on display.
"Unfortunately, we didn't qualify to represent Hogwarts this time round."
"Yeah, I heard it's Slytherin," grumbled Missy. "They'd get stomped if they were forced to play by the rules."
Percy nodded.
"Between you and me, I hope you crush those gits. I'm proud to be a Hogwarts student, but I'm in the anybody-but-Slytherin camp. Even Darmstrang is easier to pull for. They may use dark magic, but they play by the rules when it comes to interscholastic affairs."
He arched an eyebrow.
"That trotty old lady, is she always like that? I think she makes Snape look pleasant in comparison."
Missy just nodded impassively.
"Are the other schools here yet?"
asked Summer Ingersoll, a fourth-year reserve with shoulder-length coppery brown hair nearly as frizzy as Hermione Granger's.
"Not to my knowledge," replied Percy. "Being that both Beauxbatons and Durmstrang are somewhat closer than Ilvermorny, they'll likely be on school grounds tomorrow at some point. There'll be a grand feast tomorrow evening in honor of all 4 institutions, so I suspect they'll want you all in your formal robes for that."
"Is it okay if I sit with my pen pal Daphne Greengrass for dinner this evening?" asked Anna. "She and I have been aching to see each other since we started writing last fall."
"Dinner will be served in about an hour," answered Percy. "That should be sufficient time for you to get unpacked and such, and you're welcome to sit anywhere you'd like tonight, though I'd imagine that you'll have to sit in a designated area tomorrow evening."
He then led the horned serpents to the Gryffindor Tower, where a portrait with a somewhat heavy-set middle-aged woman clad in pink greeted the students.
"Master Weasley," she purred, "I see you have some guests with you this evening."
"That's correct," Percy replied. "These students represent the Ilvermorny School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. They'll be competing Friday night."
"Oh, I see,"
murmured the so-called fat lady.
"Best of luck to you, then,"
she gestured to Percy.
"As a formality, I still require the password for entry." "E pluribus unum,"
recited Percy almost robotically. The fat lady nodded, and a hidden door revealed itself to the students.
"Welcome to the Gryffindor common room,"
exclaimed Percy as he led his charges to the top of the Gryffindor tower.
"You're free to make yourselves at home during your stay."
He produced a parchment from his pocket.
"I'll call each student's name along with their designated sleeping quarters. Boys' rooms are upstairs and down the hall to the left. Girls' rooms the same, but to the right. You needn't worry about your belongings as they're being brought up as we speak. They should be here within a few minutes at the most."
When Anna heard her name, she couldn't wait to find out who her temporary roommates were. She noticed that the door was shut, so she felt that knocking was the politer option than just barging in. When the door creaked open, it was none other than Daphne Greengrass who was on the other side of the door. Both girls couldn't help but squeal with glee when they realized who the other girl was.
"Anastasia!"
squeaked Daphne as she wrapped her friend up in a tight hug.
"I can't believe you're actually here."
"I can't believe it either, Daphne," Anna said. "It's so surreal, you know?"
Daphne burst into a fit of giggles. Anna, she said, unable to control her laughter, we've got to work on that accent of yours.
What?
Groaned Anna. There's nothing wrong with the way I speak. Daphne threw Anna a devilish grin.
When we're through with you, Anastasia, you're going to sound like a proper Hogwarts witch.
But I'm an Ilvermorny witch, Anna shot back. Daphne threw her head back and laughed. I'm just messing with you, Anna. So how was the trip across the Atlantic?
Not bad, replied Anna. It's a lot quicker than using nomad's transportation, that's for sure. Are you ready for your journey to Ilvermorny?
I think so, said Daphne, albeit nervously. I've never been to North America before, so not further than France or Spain, for instance.
If it means anything, offered Anna, Harry Potter promised me that he'd save a dance for you next Friday.
He did? Squeaked Daphne.
I don't know what kind of enchantments you used on him, but thank you.
I didn't, giggled Anna. I told him that I'd be his date to the dance on the condition that he have at least one dance with you.
I'm not going to lie. My parents would prefer if I'd dated a pure-blooded wizard, but if there's a half-blood they'd approve of, it'd be Harry, admitted Daphne. He's that big a deal in our world.
I'm still trying to wrap my mind around this whole blood status business, Anna said. I mean, I know what it is and that it's ingrained in a British wizarding culture, but I've never been put down due to blood status before. Now, I've been looked down on by some of the rich established wizarding families, but it's not really the same thing. Daphne just nodded.
So while you're waiting for your bags, would you like to meet my roommates? They've been wondering when you'd arrive.
For the full text of this and other stories by the same author, visit the AO3 page of Fezzador. Music is The Chamber by Kevin MacLeod. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server and other ways to support what I do. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.